Good evening, everyone. The reference on the board, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves, that's not what really the lesson is about tonight, but that is a starting point. We know Satan is first introduced in Genesis 3:1, where he talks to the woman and deceives her, and she falls into sin, and Adam falls into sin also. But as we look through the scriptures, we see that Satan has many different names. You know, as we see on the board, he's known as the devil, Satan. He can even change his appearance to an angel of light. He's called a deceiver, a liar, and father of all lies, a murderer also, a deceiving spirit. And when Jesus is talking to some of the people there, he says, "You're not of God, but of your father, the devil." He's called a father at that time. And also in 1 Peter, he's called an adversary, a roaring lion. And in Revelations, that old serpent, which refers back to Genesis. And that great dragon in Revelation also. And also in Revelation, he's the accuser of the brothers. The Antichrist in 1 John. But 1 John explains also that those who don't believe in the Father and the Son are Antichrist also. So there's not just one Antichrist, but there's many. And then in Isaiah, it talks about Leviathan, the gliding serpent. It doesn't actually call Satan the serpent. But in Psalm 74 and 14, it talks about this serpent again. It has multiple heads, and it's a monster of the sea. So there's very characteristics that Satan can put on to deceive us. We can see that from looking at things around us, the people we come in contact with. You know, it's easy to see Satan most of the time. But as we go into being as innocent as doves, we see sometimes that we can't really see things as they are. And as doves are depicted in the scriptures, we see in Genesis 8 and verse 8, this is during or after the flood, rather. And in Matthew 3 and 16, the Spirit of God descends on Jesus like a dove. And also in John 1:32, it says the same thing. Also in the Song of Solomon, the doves are portrayed as beauty. And then in Luke 2 and 2, doves are as sacrifice. So that's what the doves are in found in the scripture. The doves in during the flood, a dove was sent out three different times until the waters receded. And the dove is like a spirit of God that descends and comes on Jesus. But the sacrifices were two turtle doves or young pigeons. But the thing I want to say about the doves are, like Satan, you can tell most of the time when Satan is evil is around. But if you sit under your bird feeder or watch the doves come in, if you have a bird feeder in the winter, the snow's on the ground, and all the birds come around to eat the little seeds, and then doves come in to eat what falls on the ground. And this is what the topic is this evening. There'll be rabbits, squirrels, other birds eating at the same place. And there's four or five doves all eating there. And all of a sudden, one of the doves will chase the other ones away. It won't chase the squirrel away, it won't chase the rabbit away, or the other birds. This is caution to us as a congregation. Consider us all doves in God's eyes. And if we're not careful, sometimes, I don't know if it's because we want to be noticed more or if we just don't want to do what's according to God's will, or Satan's using us to upset the congregation or God's people. We know sometimes we do things in good intentions, but not really what God wants us to do. We studied the other evening about Peter's good intentions with Jesus in Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 23. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And we know just before that, in verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to me." Peter had good intentions. Most of the things that Peter did, he had good intentions. We remember when they came to get Jesus at night and Peter drew out his sword. He was going to defend Jesus. But Jesus' intent was to die for our sins, and that was part of the process that was going on. Peter wanted to defend against the mob. And here he's trying to do the same thing. He wants Jesus to know that he's willing to fight for him, but he tells him to get behind me, Satan. So Satan uses anything, anybody, to do his will. He wants people to deny God and to follow him. But as we turn to Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 29 and 30. This is Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, and he calls them together. And it says, and let's start in verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from our own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So here's the warning for the elders. Even among the elders, there will be people that Satan will use to draw people after him, to get followers for themselves, and to deny God. And Paul himself, when he was going on journey, setting up the churches, there were the Judaizing teachers that were following him, trying to discredit Paul and God's word. So the people that are doing these kind of things, you have to be watchful for, because sometimes it's not the person themselves that are doing this, but Satan is using them to cause disorder in the church. And sometimes we go for a long time and there's harmony, unity. It's like after Solomon was made king in Israel, they had 40 years of prosperity. There was no wars. They had plenty of food. But then again, Satan came into their lives and they were under Satan's control. So sometimes we get a period of rest and we become, I don't know what word to use, lackadaisical, or just not looking at things as we should. But there's times that if we see something that we think is in a disorder, or maybe just something that's not of the ordinary in following God's word, that we may have to question. But it's not, I'm not saying that that's any problems here, but there's other, we see from the scriptures that there's one man that was putting the people out of the church because he wanted preeminence. And also, these savage wolves, per se, will draw people after them. And then also that we know that sometimes we try to follow people that we think are good people, that are doing the things that God wants them to do. We see many people outside the church but are in a religious community that they get quite a few followers that follow after them also. But we can see those kind of things that are not right with the scripture. And if we don't follow the scripture and pray about the things that we do and follow God's word, we fall into Satan's trap. We fall into Satan's trap as individuals, and sometimes we fall into the trap as a congregation or as a united people. But it was just something that has come to mind as you listen to some of the things on the news programs, how people get themselves involved in so many different sinful activities. And yet they proclaim to be religious people. And if we follow God's word and do what God's word says and keep diligent about the things around us, we can bring these things to our minds, that we keep ourselves pure and innocent. It's just like the shrewd as serpents and an innocent as doves. But if we turn to Romans, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We all died to sin." When we were put under the water in baptism, we take off the old man and put on the new man. And sometimes that's very hard to do in our lives. We go down the road real smooth for a while, and then something comes up that we don't know how to deal with or know what the answer is, and we need to know that God is there for us, and through him we have our salvation. the focus on the lesson this evening was for us to be more observant of what goes on around us. We know that Satan is always out there trying to disrupt God's people, wanting to get someone to get followers after themselves. But as we go on through in Romans, starting with verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin remain in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. So when we put on our baptism, we die to sin. And through the death of Christ, we have that salvation, but the hope of him, hope to be with him in eternity. If we've been baptized and put on Christ, sometimes we fall short of his glory. And we make this time available this evening that if you have some sin in your life that you would like to let the congregation know about, we can pray for you, help you in your walk with Christ. If you have not put on Christ, this is a great opportunity to do that at this time. Be buried in baptism, wash away your sins, come out a new creature, start a new life, service to God, and to remain faithful. Our goal is to help one another to be with Jesus for eternity. The lesson has been somewhat of a cautionary thing to help us to realize that Satan will let us go thinking things are running smoothly, then suddenly he appears, his wicked old self. So if you want to be a child of God and put on a new life, we can do that this evening as we stand and sing.